Heading down the stretch here on the Big Talker FM, 25 minutes in front of the hour, our friend Yael Lasowski joins us from Vienna, Austria this morning at the Consumer Choice Center, the global movement for consumer choice, consumerchoicecenter.org, their website. Yael, it's great to have you back on with us here this morning. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, thank you so much, Joe. Feeling good. That fall weather has really hit me. I've already got my good shot of pumpkin spice, I'm ready to go.
No question. And in fact, had some pumpkin bread last night, courtesy of the missus, and enjoyed it. And with yourself, of course, leading the effort to provide citizens of the United States and the world a little bit of clarity as to why freedom, liberty, and choice matters to us here in the United States and elsewhere. Well, I thought front and center this week, of course, it got some attention, and mainly it was Democrats and our politicians once again showcasing how they really feel when it comes to free speech. And I'm speaking of the testimony that the Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg had over the House Financial Services Committee. And, obviously a very smart guy, and it's just amazing. He's like the evil genius in the room as compared to the dumb schleps that were asking him the questions, and it just was repeat over and over and over again. You could see just kind of the sarcastic little millennial smirk he had on his face, like, really, this is the best our country has leading us as a nation?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Facebook, I mean, look, this is a genuine American success story. A guy who drops out of college and in his dorm room creates a social network that now has billions of users. And what's so cool about it is, obviously, it's free for anyone to join, and it does come with the trade-off that your information can be used and targeted by people using ads. And it's that latter part that has really enraged a lot of these politicians, because it allows people like President Trump to get elected, because it removes the ancient gatekeepers that were just the old television news stations and newspapers. And that's what really has set off a lot of these people. And what's very sad about it is that, this is not just a kind of Democrat-led affair. You have both the right and the left very upset at Facebook for their own reasons. And it leaves those of us who promote choice and say that, people have different options that they can choose. It leaves us kind of baffled. This is something that people use every day. They keep in touch with their kids, with their grandkids, with friends from high school. Obviously, I'm kind of living another part of the world, so I use it to communicate with a lot of people. And it's as if whenever this is brought up in a political context, Facebook is somehow as bad as Saudi Arabia, the way that the questions are framed and all these things that are lobbed at people like Mark Zuckerberg. And it's just baffling. This is a private company. It's a private social network. Anyone is free to join it, and anyone is free to not use it. And this is the kind of thing that I think a lot of these representatives aren't really hearing in their own questions, is that this is something that people voluntarily use. It's not like the government, let's say, or the federal government, which, sorry, Joe, but you and I don't have an option whether or not to be involved in this big experiment, right?
One of the things that I thought I caught some audio of these folks asking him questions, and you could see just the smile on his face. And he has no answer to this. How many gay people work for you? And through the cryptocurrency that you are ready to launch, how does that affect people with no money? I mean, these are the types of questions that are being asked by those who have the quote unquote leader title next to them. Literally, how do people with no money, how are they going to be impacted by a cryptocurrency that you're looking to launch worldwide? Literally, if you have no money, how are you going to be impacted by a currency that, could be utilized in very different ways in many different places across the world? Well, places like Venezuela come to mind when we've got 1,000,000% inflation, that you'd be able to turn that, those types of monies into a cryptocurrency, and then you could invest and do things elsewhere outside of a country where you're eating your pets for dinner to stay alive.
Yeah, and another thing with this is you can tell that so many of these people who are our representatives asking these questions know nothing about technology. They know nothing about how Facebook works, what the actual protocols are, what it's like to even put an ad together. I mean, look, we're a consumer group, Consumer Choice Center. We try to put out information about ideas and issues. And I have to say, 80% of our ads get rejected by Facebook. And that's because now it is so difficult to try to put your ads on there because of all the back-breaking changes that Facebook is implementing. It's almost impossible for people to just do their work. And you can imagine if you have a charity fundraiser that you're trying to raise money for in Wilmington, and you know, it has the veterans something in the cover photo, there's a chance that your ad will be rejected because they want to make sure that you're not getting too politically involved. And this is exactly what happens. You get way bad legislation, terrible legislation or terrible policies that are enacted to try to please a lot of these lawmakers who don't understand the first thing about technology. This is the kind of stuff that hurts ordinary people, small business people who try to use this to advertise to their customers. I mean, look, they're getting screwed. And the bad problem is that there's probably going to be even more. And Facebook is a large company. They have a lot of resources. They have more lawyers than you and I have ever met in our life, Joe. But I got to say, I don't know how they're going to be able to deal with this, especially with a hostile Congress. It really makes someone who's an ordinary user, I'm not sure if the experience is going to be any better. And I think we really have the government to blame for that now.
Well, there's plenty of blame to be passed around when it comes to our government and the issues that we have faced. Well, in the case of the United States of America, and I highlight it oftentimes, getting ready to approach my 36th birthday tomorrow. And, well, 36 years ago, a lot of the issues that we face as a country were there 36 years ago, and they're still here today. It shows you the effectiveness of these so-called leaders, and in many cases, people who have been in these same elected positions over that three-plus decade period. And a few of them, of course, seeking the Democratic presidential nomination leading into the 2020 campaign cycle, Gael, of the Consumer Choice Center, consumerchoicecenter.org. And one of the leading candidates, of course, Elizabeth Warren, has floated the idea of, well, the government, the federal government, taking over telecommunications and the Internet. That would work out well for choice and freedom, wouldn't it?
Yeah, not at all. And I think one of the funniest parts of Elizabeth Warren's sort of attack on Facebook and other social networks is that she herself put out an ad, which is a lie, claiming that Mark Zuckerberg had endorsed Trump. Now, there was a lot of nuance to that and say, well, he's endorsing him by allowing the campaign to run these ads. And here's the thing, is if we were to do a fact check, that would have been false. And Elizabeth Warren would have had that ad denied. But here's the thing, is it's a platform that is free to use, and anyone can get on it, anyone can click, anyone can like and share. And the second that we try to invite the government, and this is a point that even Beto O'Rourke made, you know, not everyone's favorite presidential candidate, but he made the point that, look, it's not the job of the president to just pick which company they're going to crack down on because they don't like what they're doing. That's not what a president should be doing, and it's not what a federal government should do. So some very good points from Beto O'Rourke on that. But still, if that's the Elizabeth Warren approach to try to aim all of the guns of the regulatory state at something like Facebook, yeah, I think we're in trouble because Facebook might be the first target, but there's probably thousands more that are out there, and that's going to affect products that you and I use, services that you and I use, and maybe even the state of the Internet. So that's going to be a big deal. So that's something that people really need to think about and explore if they're looking at a Warren candidacy.
Well, the ignorance on full display this past week during this committee hearing. And I wouldn't be surprised after this man, Zuckerberg, was scolded, Democrat after Democrat, scolding him for this, that, and the other. If he would not go out there on a limb and maybe even vote for President Trump in 2020, that would be something, huh, if he came out with that. Well, speaking of the ignorance, whether it be telecommunications, the Internet, or how about the economy, stupid? And Yael, you know, these Democrats floating, you know, proposals that would, of course, well, Bernie Sanders admits his health care proposal would raise taxes on the middle class, and we would see a different era, no doubt, if one of these Democrats were to take over in 2020. And one of the popular proposals and themes that we have heard over the course of our lifetime, of course, is Republicans you know, support the wealthy. They're always giving tax breaks to the corporations, the evil corporations, and we're going to tax the hell out of them. If it's Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and her wealth tax proposal, why is a wealth tax bad for our economy and the American people as a whole?
Well, if you look at what a wealth tax does, it doesn't tax your income, which is great. Not that any of these candidates are putting forward a plan to abolish the federal income tax. We're not there yet, unfortunately. But what it would do is it would look at your total assets. Who knows who's going to determine this? There's probably going to be some kind of department. I'm talking about, this is a Democratic presidency in 2021, let's imagine. There'd be some department that is supposed to evaluate all the assets that you and your family own. So Joe Catanacci has a house, he's got a car, he's got a small dinghy boat in the backyard. He is worth X amount. Therefore, we will slap a 3% tax on the total value of all of that. Now, it's something that has been introduced in places like Germany and different parts of Scandinavia and hasn't really worked because people have found ways around it. They put that in the name of their wife or some of their family members, or they just put it in the name of a company. So if you're looking at it as a way to try to punish the rich people, it's not going to work. Really, it's going to hurt the people like ordinary middle-class folks who happen to have a house or two cars and don't have lawyers and all kinds of accountants that can help them be creative with figuring out how to go around it. So if we are going to have this tax, again, this is added on top of the income tax, not going to be just a replacement. That means that your house, your cars, anything you own, if you have gold, any of this stuff that classifies as assets or wealth, you're going to be taxed on that. That's whether or not it's liquid. And I think there's a lot of problems with that. It was later abandoned in these places like Germany and in Scandinavia, so that's definitely something to consider. It seems as if this is just another stick, you know, for people who want to be successful, for people who are able to buy things and accumulate things. Let's try to figure out a way to use the tax system to penalize them. And it's especially going to be hard on poorer people because poorer people use most of their income to consume and to buy products and to buy assets. So if we're going to do that, that's actually going to end up hurting a lot more people. And again, this is just another example of the road to hell is paved with great and beautiful and good intentions.
Yeah, rent control sounds like one that we discussed recently. Great intentions, but of course the consequences of the policies would again hurt the people they are intended to help. And oftentimes when government goes down this road, this is the result that we see more often than not. Before I let you go, Yael, focusing on some things domestically here this morning, but just north of our border, Justin Trudeau won his election last week or earlier this week in Canada. Why in which was that such a highly touted election? Of course, one in which our former president gave his endorsement to the prime minister. Why was the Trudeau in so much turmoil and hot water over the last few years of him governing the country to our north?
So we had the Conservative Party led the government there for many years under Stephen Harper, who was prime minister. And then we had the government of Justin Trudeau that came in 2015 and promised very sunny ways. He appointed a gender-balanced cabinet and was very, very bent on getting his progressive values through. It definitely worked in terms of the pipelines. There's a lot that was done there. The government nationalized a huge pipeline project. And then about a year ago, Justin Trudeau found himself in a little bit of trouble in terms of an investigation of a company that was doing business in Libya, a Canadian company. This is the SNC-Lavalin, based out of Quebec. And it turns as if they were bribing people, and the Minister of Justice, or let's say the Attorney General, was aiming to investigate this, and she actually was shut down and later fired. And there was a lot of talk about corruption, and then added on top of that, a lot of blackface photos surfaced of Justin Trudeau, who is himself one of the most progressive leaders in the world and has been named Mr. Social Justice. And that really caused a lot of people to doubt him. So he had a majority government. He lost that. Now it's a minority government, meaning he'll need to work with the other parties to pass legislation. But yeah, a little bit changed. It means he doesn't have as strong of a grip. The Conservative Party is very strong, and they're actually a bit more libertarian, I'd say, than the GOP here in the United States. There's going to be some changes. There'll be a little bit of back and forth there between the main political parties in Canada, but this is the continuing ideological debate between the ideas of freedom and the ideas that the government should grow and should control more of our affairs. So that played out in Canada. We'll see what happens here over the next few months, but definitely telling. I mean, Canada is not just maple syrup and polar bears. There is a lot more going on up there.
And it's great to have insight from people like you who were born there and then ultimately now living the American dream as an American citizen, going here, there, and everywhere, broadcasting now with us this morning from Vienna. Next week, we're going to check in with you. You'll be in Charlotte and then out to Colorado to talk about this CBD explosion that we have seen across the country. Just a little preview of what our conversation will look like next week. Quickly.
All right. Yes, sir. We've got the smart cannabis of CBD coming forth. You've seen all these CBD shops in your neighborhoods. There's an entire revolution. American farmers are ready to grow this. We have to make sure our regulations are up to date. So I'll be speaking about that in North Carolina and Charlotte and also out in Colorado. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Great things that are happening. CBD is the way to go.
ConsumerChoiceCenter.org, the global grassroots movement for consumer choice. Yael, always great perspective and insight. We thank you. We'll talk to you this time next week.
Yes, sir, Joe, and happy birthday tomorrow. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. A couple of pints on the way, no doubt for myself. It won't happen until, well, after this evening's WWAY TV broadcast. We'll be joining Tanner Barth with our local TV partners for the fifth quarter, going over all the highlights from the high school football action tonight. But no doubt, birthday celebration on the way tomorrow. Looking forward to it. We'll be back to wrap it up after this. You've been calling.